I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound His word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Northmark family, what a delightful opportunity we have this morning. Today it's my privilege to introduce to you Kenny and Carissa Young. Let's welcome them this morning. Amen. These are two very special people because they are beginning a journey with us as their church family. Starting this summer, Kenny and Carissa will be with us for the next 3 years as missionary candidate interns. What's that mean? It means that God has His call on their lives, and they are joining with us for the next 36 or so months to prepare for a lifetime of serving Him overseas as a missionary. In order to go out with the Christian Missionary Alliance for your ministry years, you've got to be prepared. We want to send out people that can go the distance and do it well. And so they will invest the next 3 years with us, being mentored and encouraged and built up and challenged. Basically, we want them to see what a healthy church looks like. We want them to see you and to feel your love for them and experience what it's like when it's working right, so that when they go overseas and plant a church, they have a vision in their mind. This is what it's supposed to look like. This is how it's supposed to function. This is what needs to be happening in that place. We have a privilege, and I want to encourage you, don't delay this. I want to encourage you, this summer and going into the fall, reach out to Kenny and Carissa and get to know this couple. Track with them. Pray for them. Invest in them. Come alongside them. And then watch how God sends them and carries them and uses them in a profound way for years to come. You have a privilege of being part of that sending team. In Scripture, in Romans chapter 10, this is a passage that is a favorite of these two. I want to share it with you this morning. It says this. It says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Saved from the consequence of having to stand before God on their own one day and give an account of their life and their sin on their own. You can be saved from that by putting your faith in Jesus, calling on Him and asking Him to be your Lord and stand before you now and stand before you on that day of judgment. Him covering you and taking care of your sins. Isn't that a good thing, church? That's good news, that Savior is available for you. Scripture says everyone who calls on the name of Jesus will be saved like this. But then Paul poses a series of questions. Look at these. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Go back to that first part of the verse for me. There it is. Look at these questions. People cannot be saved from the consequence of their own sin. They cannot call upon Jesus until they first believe in Jesus. Believe in what He accomplished with His perfect life, His death on that cross, and His glorious resurrection. But how can they believe if they've not even heard yet about Jesus? In our country, statistics tell us that it takes a person an average of 16 times hearing about Jesus before they will believe in Jesus. There are people all over this world who've never heard of Jesus even once yet. Those are the people these two are centering in on. Because those people will only hear when someone comes and tells them. And tells them in their own native tongue. Tells them in their own mother language. Tells them in a way that they can comprehend. Someone has to go, Paul says, and preach to them. But how can you go and preach and tell unless you have been sent? How beautiful are the feet of those who've been sent with such good news. Take a peek under this table with me. I see some maroon nail polish and some brown leather shoes. These are beautiful feet, friends, because these two pairs of feet next to me here belong to a couple who are saying, God wants to send us to go and preach about Jesus to those who've yet to hear, that they might put their faith, their belief in Jesus, and call on Him and be saved. We have the privilege of being part of the group of people who will send these two on this glorious and beautiful journey. Don't you want to be part of that? I sure do. So I want to encourage you, get to know Kenny and Carissa, and to help kickstart you on that, today we're going to interview them and find out a little more of who they are. Kenny and Carissa, tell us, how did the Lord bring you two together, and how is this church part of your story?
So many of you might know Kenny and I, but not know us together. Both of us grew up in this church, but at different times in our lives. Those of you who might know me as Carissa Wallace or recognize me looking more like this is because my dad was the youth pastor here from 1990 to 2001. This time was a very influential time in my life. It's here in this church where I began to be interested in missions. I loved missions conference and getting to pick out an outfit to wear for the missions parade and hearing all the cool stories from the missionaries that would come. Stories about the food they ate, the languages they spoke, and the clothes that they got to wear was always something I looked forward to. But it never really meant much more than just being interested in it to me at that time. Also during this time, I had a faith in Jesus, but mainly it was because I was a pastor's kid, and that's what was expected of me. And it never really became my own until 2001, when my dad accepted a job at a church in Minnesota, and we moved in the summer of 2001. Here's a picture of my family that's a little bit more recent. But during this time, I was extremely confused. I was told in Sunday school that Jesus loved me, and as a 12-year-old, I did not understand how a God who loved me could make me move away from all my friends and from the life that I really liked here in Warren. So during that year, I became very angry at my parents, very bitter towards God. But during this time, I still prayed and asked God, okay, I was told that you have a plan for my life. So how in the world is Minnesota a part of that plan for my life? Well, I soon became a little bit more aware of what that plan was when I began to make friends from people all over the world. Minneapolis and St. Paul are extremely international cities. And soon, I was the only American Caucasian person in my group of friends. I had friends from Madagascar, Ethiopia, Mexico, Japan, you name it. And I was learning about all these different cultures and languages, getting invited over to eat food at my friends' homes. And I loved it. And God slowly showed me that this is why I needed you here. Mm-hmm. And that interest in missions became a reality in my life. So I attended Crown College, got a degree in intercultural studies, which is a missiology degree, and pursued serving full-time with the Christian Missionary Alliance. During my time in college, I went on my first missions trip to Berlin, Germany, and fell in love with Berlin. I fell in love with the ministry that was going on there, and God really showed me that this is what I have for you. This is something I want you to do. So I went back a couple times to Germany. And the final time was in 2012 when I went over and had committed to be there for 3 years as a missionary apprentice serving in Berlin.
So in 2001, when Carissa's family moved to Minnesota, The Sunday that was her family's last Sunday was the Sunday before my family began attending Northmar. So we just barely missed each other, and I'm sure it's a good thing she didn't know me back then, because I might have been a little awkward. So anyways, here at Northmar, I began to better understand how my faith was supposed to be my own, and that it was something that was necessary to be shared with all the people in the world, because there are so many people out there who don't know Jesus and don't know the salvation that that God offers us. There were two mission trips in particular where God showed me that he might have had a different plan for me than I thought I was going to do. My original thought for middle school, high school, and college was that I was going to go get a degree, get a job where I would be able to make enough money to support my family, create a nice, comfortable savings account, retire, and it'll just be, we live happily ever after. And God says, no, that's not the case. Happily ever after is going to happen, but not on the plan that you have. So there was the first trip was to Philadelphia, where with the youth group, we went over to Philadelphia and we just ministered to the people within the city. And on this trip, just recognizing that there really are people out there who don't have the saving grace that I do, and they need to know about it. And oftentimes in a lot of, say, those neighborhoods, or in Germany where Carissa was, there's entire cities, towns, neighborhoods where there's no one who knows Jesus, so how else are they going to learn about it?
That's right.
The second trip was in 2009. My senior year of high school, I went on a trip to Thailand with the online school I had been using. This was not necessarily a trip where we were spreading the gospel, but we were ministering to the missionary families in Asia, and there was just this big moment where I was watching all the families worshiping. There were probably about 300 people in a conference room, watching them worship and realizing, you know, maybe this is something that God has in store for me. But at the same time, even though I thought that and heard that, I still fought it. So I went to Grove City College, graduated with a degree in accounting, because that was how I was going to get the job that was going to get me to my happy ending. And God had a whole different story and plan, story planned for me. And I, looking back on it, can really tell that this is the case, because there were several internships I had where they, just for little reasons, turned out to not become a job. And I applied for a bunch of different jobs where just nothing ever even turned into an interview. So at that point, I was thinking, you know, what am I supposed to do? So in the mail room, I see a poster for the Marines where it says guaranteed spot into flight school. And I'm thinking, oh, I've wanted to fly since I was 3 or 4. I'm the only one in my family with no glasses, so obviously this is where I'm supposed to go. So I start applying for that, get very far along, graduate college, and I have to wait about 2 months before I hear back from them. And during this 2 months was a lot of prayer of, okay, God, where are you going to send me? And what's your plan for me ultimately? And there were two Sundays in July of 2013 where the first one, I remember God saying to me, just go down, ask for some prayer. I can get you in or I can reject you. And he just saying, you know, I have this in control. And my pride got in the way, and I said, nope, I'm not going to go down. That's embarrassing. So I didn't. The next Sunday, same exact thing. So I was like, okay, well, this is two times in a row, so I probably should go down. So I went down, and I remember just asking for the prayer of, God, if you want me in, get me in. If you want me not to do that, then reject me. So ultimately, a few weeks later, I got a phone call saying I was rejected, and it was that following September where I went to Germany for a short-term trip, and I met Carissa.
So when I left in 2012 to be a missionary apprentice, I left with being okay with the fact that I was going over as a single woman. I've always been a very independent and strong-willed individual, and so the thought never really crossed my mind that, oh, you know, this might be nice to do later on in life when I married or have a family, but it was more, okay, this is what God had called me to do, and if there was no guy who wanted to do this with me, then that's fine, because I'm just gonna keep moving forward. So I left and began working with this team of people in Germany, some you might recognize, but as I started to work with them, I realized, wow, this is really cool how God uses an entire missionary family to serve him. Seeing husband and wives alongside each other ministering to people really began to make me question, can I really do this by myself for the rest of my life? And so I began to start wrestling with that with God and praying, okay, God, if you want me to do this as a single woman, I need you to provide for me emotionally, because right now I'm not doing so hot in that area. And or if there is someone out there who wants to serve you and be a missionary, bring him to me. And I felt kind of ridiculous praying that, because I was in the middle of nowhere, Germany. How would God bring me somebody? So I started to pray that. And as time went on, while I was there, these prayers became more and more frequent. And in the summer of 2013, I went away for a week with a missionary field forum in Croatia. And it was a time where we could get away as missionaries and just focus on our relationship with God instead of ministering to those around us all the time. It was just a week to get away from everything. And during that week, I really, really prayed a lot about this with God. And I really felt him saying to me, Carissa, if you want a husband, why don't you just ask me? And it was kind of like one of those moments, like, that seems way too simple. Like, I don't know. So I had to really let down my pride and humble myself to actually tell people I was struggling with this. Because before, I was like, there's no way I'm telling the other missionaries that I want to be married, because they might think I'm weak and that I can't handle this. So I really, God had to humble me to the point where I actually shared with people that this has been something I've been struggling with for the past year and a half. And then I came back from that trip and sent an email to a couple of my close friends from college and just asked them that they would join me in praying that God would bring me a husband, which was one of the most humiliating things I thought I had ever done. You don't ask that, but that's what I felt God telling me to do. So I did, and about a week later, we were having a team meeting in Berlin where a team of people from Northmar were coming to cook for us, to watch the kids, and to lead us in worship so that we could do some team planning. And I knew that Leanne Schaefer was going to be on the trip, which I was excited about because she was my Sunday school teacher at one time. So as soon as we got to Berlin, I rushed into the kitchen to say hello to those who I knew. And sitting in the kitchen, shredding cheese, was this guy. And I was very confused because I was under the impression it was all older people coming on the trip. And so that struck me. And then it's like, wait a second, he looks like he's about my age, but I have no idea who he is. Like, maybe I should know, maybe we grew up together. So I quickly went and asked Melanie Chinchilla, who is that guy? She told me his name, and I had no idea who he was. So I was extremely intrigued at that point.
So back in July, before I found out I got rejected, I received a phone call. I was sitting at home doing nothing, got a phone call. The caller ID said Chinchilla. Occasionally, Melanie would call my home and ask my mom for some advice about their kids. And so I pick up the phone. I say, hey, Melanie, my mom's not here right now. I'll take a message for you. And lo and behold, she's actually calling for me. So she says, actually, I'm calling for you. And I'm thinking, okay, this is interesting. I didn't know you that well. But she says, well, I hear you're coming on the short-term trip in September. And I'm thinking, no, I'm not, because this was before I got rejected. I was thinking that I was going to be gone for who knows how many years. And at that point, I hung up the phone, was rejected, and then I went over to Germany. On the airplane ride, I remember that there was a point where I was like, okay, I didn't prepare for this by a lot of prayer, and so I just prayed, God, if you want, do what you want with me on this trip. And so that same night where Carissa walked in, I'm sitting there shredding the cheese, and Carissa walks in, and I'm thinking, well, she's kind of cute, so maybe I'll get to know her. So later on, when we were playing games, it ended up she sat across the room talking to Leanne. I was on the other side. I was over listening, eavesdropping on their conversation casually so that I could get a little information to talk to her. And so then we started talking, and then...
he listened in on a conversation I was having about a missions trip I was planning for February. So after, we only spent a total of 2 days together in Germany, and then I left to a city in southern Germany for a different conference, and I received an email from Kenny, and about 8 days and 300 emails later, I'm not exaggerating, we realized that this is different. This, something is going on here. And so we began dating, even though I was still in Germany, in October. I came home for Christmas to see my family, and because my dad was very skeptical of this relationship, so he wanted to see it in person for himself. Kenny proposed on December 28th. I said yes, and we were married on June 22nd of last year. Now, it seems a little crazy and fast, which it was fast, but because of all the things that had been happening in both of our lives before we met, when we met, God had really prepared us for one another, and we're just really blessed that it's happened this way, and we're excited to see this next chapter unfold in our lives.
Awesome. Pretty cool story, huh, family? Yeah. Isn't that awesome? Amen. It's obvious that God has called both of these two people to himself and to serving him full-time, and then to each other, and now to Northmark Church. So we have the privilege of being part of their journey, part of their story, as God prepares them for the mission field. I want to invite you to stand with me. And you know how we do this, church family. We like to pray for people. We call this, Kenny and Carissa, the Northmark sandwich. And you're the peanut butter and jelly. So everybody just gather in real close, if you would. And respectfully lay a hand on the shoulder of the person in front of you. No pinching. Be nice. Be nice. We want to pray for this couple as they begin their journey with us. Lord, you are faithful, and our eyes are on you. Even preventing these two from meeting each other as little 12-year-olds and holding them apart until it was the right time. We just see your sovereign care over their lives, giving Carissa that early call to missions, bringing Kenny to the end of his own plans and causing him to realize you have a call on his life, and then introducing them to each other and fast-tracking it past dad's and getting dad's approval on both sides. And we thank you for that, Lord, because it's evidence that you are directing this couple's lives. And now they're here with us. And we have the privilege of loving them and mentoring and speaking into their lives and helping them work through difficulties and preparation that they can go to the field fully equipped, ready to plant a church, a healthy church, where people will come to hear of Jesus Christ. People will come to be saved. Jesus, you can do this. Thank you for the privilege we have of joining you in this process of preparing and then sending Kenny and Carissa Young. Thank you, Lord. May we do our part by your glory, by your grace and for your glory. Thank you, Lord. You are good to us, and our eyes are on you. We need you. May this couple feel your love and your support through us now and the rest of their ministry career. We pray this together in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarkchurch.com. or simply download the Northmark Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.